Amen. Leviticus chapter 14, the subject is leprosy. Okay? Don't want to bog down here. Love to move on. But that's the subject, and we're going to take it as thoroughly as we can. Understand, guys, and we've talked about this, leprosy is a picture of what? Yell it out, church. It's a perfect picture of sin, right? It was lethal. It started small, and it consumed the whole body, and the end result was always death, right? The wages of sin is death. That's exactly right. And when I contract leprosy, if I'm a citizen of Israel, for example, and I contract leprosy, every time, you know, I was going to experience a slow, pitiful death. That's the truth. And we talked so much about the comparisons between sin and the physical disease. The most common disease today that resembles biblical leprosy is called Hansen's disease, if you're interested. But so many comparisons, so many similarities. Well, the cool thing is in chapter 14, provision is made in God's law, in Moses' law, for the healing of a leper. Which is really interesting, because with one exception in the Old Testament, they never saw that happen. In fact, you could say the citizens of Israel had never seen that happen, because the one exception was actually a Syrian general. You might remember that. But this provision, there's actually a process that a leper would go through if he found himself cleansed of his leprosy, a very specific ceremonial cleansing that he would go in front of the high priest, in the temple, sacrifices were to be made. But it seemed like, you know, a file in Israel's file cabinet that was dusty and redundant and irrelevant. It's a file they never pulled, ever, until a very significant individual shows up. But let's look at this in chapter 14, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, and he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them, and the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean. And shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed, shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that, he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. Okay, let's pause there and deal with this much. First of all, guys, I want you to understand, as this leper was cleansed, everything that happened that brought this man from his leprosy, his sin, okay, to being pronounced clean, and being allowed to go free, go back home, right? Everything that happened, the priest did. Which really speaks of our salvation, doesn't it? If you have the mindset that you have to do something to be saved, you have embraced a false gospel. That's the bottom line. You have embraced a gospel of works. Okay, do you think here this evening that it's church attendance that'll get you to heaven? Do you think that? You won't find that in the Bible. Do you think it's a certain amount of prayers, or it's a certain word-for-word prayer? Like there's some abracadabra prayer you can say that will ensure your salvation when you die. Who are you dependent on this evening to save your soul from hell and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness? Who are you dependent on? Well, I'm telling you what the scriptures teach is it is Jesus Christ and his performance for us on our behalf, and that only that can result in our salvation. Really cool, right? I didn't call Lisa Campbell tonight and say, hey, I'm going to preach the gospel, opening verse. So sing nothing but the blood of Jesus, okay? You know, we don't coerce. We don't, that would be weird, but she prays and I pray. And that song that we sang, though, brothers and sisters, is exactly the message of the gospel. There is only one thing that can cleanse us of our sin, and it's the blood of Jesus. It sure isn't our elbow grease or our good deeds, right? One of the best verses in the New Testament, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, but by grace, through faith, are ye saved, and that not of yourselves, it is salvation, it is faith, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. You familiar with that? What an awesome verse, man. You know, heaven will be nothing like prison. You brag about how you get into prison, right? Heaven's nothing like that. Everybody there going, I have no idea how I got here. Grace, man, absolute grace is what resulted in me, you know, being on the roster. I love it. I even love the actions of the priest. Apparently a message, right? Apparently the leper would say, send for the priest because I think I'm clean, man. My fingers are back, for example. My nose is sniffing again. So send for the priest. And I love that the priest would leave, right? His comfy word, go outside into that colony and verify. That's a pastor, right? A pastor that would go into the leper colony and say, okay, come with me. God desired that, right? God arranged this. But the priest goes after, just like Jesus goes after us, guys. Make no mistake about it. Does he not pursue us? I hate this. There's a song that I hear on the radio. I hate it. I know I'm opinionated, but I hate it. The song goes, I found Jesus. You ever heard that song? That's a stupid song. I don't mean any offense to the person who wrote it. They're probably great Christian people. And I get what they're saying. As you're groping through life for peace and fulfillment, you discover Jesus. I get the idea, but it's theologically bad, right? We were the lost ones, man. We didn't find Jesus. Jesus found us. That's the reality, okay? Please understand this, guys. Christianity, Jesus initiates, we respond. Oh, I believe in a response. But Jesus initiates the relationship, introduces himself to us, shows us the way, and we, as an act of faith, like it says in, you know, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we access his grace by extending faith, which is awesome. But he initiates, we respond. Check this out. If you are a religious person in this room tonight or in the web land, here's the deal, guys. Religion is exactly the opposite. Religion makes you or me the initiator. And look what I'm doing, God. Look how good I'm being, God. And I expect God to respond and bless me, right? Because of all of my goodness. That's religion, man. And guess what that results in? Condemnation, exhaustion, and defeat. Only every time, right? That's the truth. So I love this scene, man, and I know it's about leprosy, and I know it can be boring, but when you consider that that leper, you know, calls out for help, the priest runs to him and does everything from there. I love that, man. It's a blessing. Some of the specifics, okay? First of all, two birds are to be caught or brought, right, to the temple for the sacrifice. Two alive and clean birds. Cedar wood, you know, I don't necessarily picture our cedar wood, but the cedar wood of Israel, what they called cedar, you know, thrived in the northern part of Israel originally. You've certainly heard of the cedars of Lebanon, right? Known in that region. Scarlet, that's a piece of scarlet fabric. Hyssop, which is an interesting, you know, branch, interesting, you know, element in, you know, Jewish worship goes all the way back to Passover. You guys remember in Psalm 51, man, David's Psalm of Brokenness. You guys remember that psalm? When David had an affair with one of his mighty general's wife. How despicable can that be, right? A man that he served on a battlefield with. Two guys that risked their life. There was a camaraderie, a fellowship, a union. And he betrayed one of his good friends by, while he's out to battle, you know, sleeping with his wife, impregnating his wife. It was a despicable season of King David's life. And remember, when David is crying out for God's mercy in Psalm 51, he's expressing his brokenness. It hits him like a ton of bricks, what he's done, right? You've been there when your sin really hits you like a ton of bricks and you realize, what in the world was I thinking? Where have I been, right? David says, cleanse me, God, with hyssop. Do you guys remember that statement? Fascinating, right? What is David saying? King David, a man after God's own heart. He's saying, God, I am no better than a leper. That's what I am. I'm no better than a leper. You know, I should be ostracized from my family, ostracized for you, existing outside the camp, cut off from you, from worship. Cleanse me with hyssop, Lord, because I'm nothing, I'm no better than a leper. Really brings some sharpness, I believe, to the statement that David made. So these elements are used, two birds, stick of cedar, scarlet, hyssop. The priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar and the scarlet and the hyssop and dip them in the living and the living bird, in the blood that was killed over the running water, and sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed. So sprinkle on the leper seven times. As the blood of the sacrifice applied to that sinner, applied to that leper. And guess what? It resulted in being cleansed. That is exactly the gospel message in the New Testament, right? The blood is applied and we're cleansed. That's precious. You know, she's not here tonight. She's home with a sick boy. But, you know, that's the part of my wife's story Monday night that, man, struck my heart, man, just to hear her say, the first time, remember when she was a teenage girl and the first time she went to church, right? And she heard the gospel for the first time, and she didn't really understand any of it, right? But she heard that one word, clean. You remember that? And she's like, man, I can be clean? And that dramatically affected that girl's heart. Well, there it is again, guys. Are you this evening? Fair question. Are you dirty in your sin? Did you walk through that door tonight, you know, living in sin and therefore dirty, right? Tainted by sin. Really good news for you tonight. You're gonna be glad you came. You can be cleansed, right? Washed new, like it never happened. Who knows what the word justified means? Justified, it's an awesome word, man. It literally means just as if I'd never sinned. That's what's available in the righteous gospel, the transformational gospel of Jesus Christ. I can be that clean in the eyes of the Lord, which is awesome. This is a beautiful picture, right? This one bird dies. It's certainly a picture of sacrifice. And ultimately, who was sacrificed? What blood is shed? That's our Lord, right? This other bird that absolutely didn't get killed was, you know, covered in the blood of this sacrifice, had all of the outward indications of sacrifice, but this bird was put in the field and that bird was let free. That means that bird would rise up into the heavens, right? Never to be seen again. If you came out of a sacrificial ceremony as a bird and someone lets go of you in the middle of the field, you're gone, right? You wouldn't mess around. You don't want any redos, reruns. That's it. And you'd probably go into the Judean wilderness for the rest of your birdie days. But guys, what a perfect picture of the resurrection and the ascension of Christ, right? The death of Christ, his blood applied and his resurrection. But yet, as he resurrected, the marks of crucifixion all over him, the blood, right? The wounds were there. We went up to Thomas even after his resurrection. Thomas, here's the wound. Here's the wound in my hands. The evidence of sacrifice was still there, but yet rose again, ascended into heaven, where he sits currently at the right hand of the Father. Beautiful picture, I believe. And the specifics there in verse 8 are awesome. He that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair. That's maybe doesn't mean the same thing to you and me. But for example, a man in Israel, that was, number one, an extremely humiliating act, okay? A beard on a man in that day and age was all about maturity. A man was expected to have a beard in that day, which is funny because I grew up in a church where it was sinful to have a beard. And I started reading the Bible, I'm like, wait a minute. Which is another subject. But just, do you guys remember that one occasion when, you know, some of David's men were captured and to humiliate them, half of their beard was shaved off? Do you guys remember, how many remember that story in God's Word? And remember when David saw him, he said, oh, guys, don't come into the city as long as your beard looks like that. Go hide out in like Jericho till your beard goes back, then come back, because you look, it's just bad. But that's how big of a deal it was in those days. Your beard was a statement of maturity. It wasn't a statement of macho-ness, but it was a statement of manhood, which was a big deal, right, in a patriarchal society. So for a man to shave off all his hair, all his beard, was a statement of humility, right? And it was a statement of childlike. Literally bringing yourself back to a place of new birth. That's the idea. That's the picture, okay? That's the last time all of us were completely hairless, right? Was when we came, you know, out of the womb of our mother. So there's a picture there for sure. Washing himself in water, guys, that's a picture in the New Testament of, you know, being constantly and continually renewed by taking in the Word of God. Being washed in the water of the Word. Again, this is a clear picture of salvation, justification, you know, being sanctified in the process thereof, and the pronunciation or the pronouncement of being clean. Look at this, and after he shall come into the camp, he shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. Now, what is that about? He could come back into the camp. He didn't have to go and live in the leper colony anymore once he had gotten through this part, but he still couldn't go into his home yet. He could come back into the society, he could come back into the camp, right? But he could not go into his tent. Now, when Moses was speaking, they lived in tents, they were nomads, okay? Obviously, the tent eventually becomes the house, right? The camp eventually becomes the city. You guys are following that, you understand that? But in this day and age, during the wilderness years, it was a camp and it was a tent. So the father, the mother, the son, whoever was the leper could come to his dwelling place, but he had to sleep outside. That's interesting to me. Brand new forgiveness, brand new cleansing, you know, been born again. But yet the first thing he does once he leaves this ceremony is to sleep outside. I think God's establishing something myself. I really do. I think God is setting something up in that brand new convert, right? What's the most important thing in your life? Is it your relationship with your Father? Is it your salvation, your cleansing? I think he's trying to give that person one full week where it literally is just him and his Maker. It's foundational. Let me give you an example in the New Testament where Jesus follows this pattern, guys. Don't turn there, but in Matthew chapter 10, it's the first time Jesus sends out his disciples on their missionary journey. It's their first short-term mission trip. Do you remember it? And do you guys remember what Jesus did as he sent out the 12 first time? He said, guys, listen to me. I don't want you to take $5, $20. I don't want you to take a dollar on your journey. No provisions. I don't want you to take a second pair of shoes. I don't want you to take a second coat. You can take your walking stick and the clothes on your back and hit the road. Huh? Like this. I don't want any conveniences. I don't want any luxuries. I want you, after you first go out in my name, I want you to live lean, live simple, and not pack a lunch even. Why? Why? What was the Lord trying to do on a foundational level with these brand new disciples? He's trying to instill in something that is so vital still today, and that is total and complete dependency on him, right? I shared this up north yesterday, I guess. I was up north at Island Falls. You know, if you're in a discipleship phase right now, understand that. Maybe there's times where there's privileges that are deliberately kept from you. You're like, why? Well, maybe it's because you're in a foundational state right now, right? You're in a foundational time where God is trying to get you to a place where it's just you and Jesus. Now, it might be you and Jesus and your wife and your kids someday, but it's so vital that you establish at the beginning you and Jesus, and if nothing else comes, I'm content with that. If I get to live outside under the big sky and me and Jesus and my salvation, I'm okay with that. And everything beyond that is just frosting on the cake, man. Where are you at with that this evening? Where am I at with that this evening? This is what the scriptures say. Godliness with contentment is great gain, right? It's great gain. I see that here in this, the cleansing of this leper. All right, let's go to verse 9. But it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave all his hair off, his head, his beard, and his eyebrows. Even all his hair he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes, and he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. You know, why would God make this poor guy go through this twice? You know, he had a good week of growth coming back in, you know what I mean? 5 o'clock shadow and then some, right? Why would God 7 days later say, all right, now do it all again? You need to reshave and you need to rewash. What is that? Isn't that Christianity, guys? We're not getting saved all over again. That's ridiculous. That's stupid. But isn't that Christianity? Doesn't God expect us to deliberately humble ourselves throughout our Christian walk? And we get a week under our belt and we're thinking, man, I'm a hero now. I am super spiritual. Hear me roar. And we can get real full of ourselves, right? Here's Satan's two tactics in your life, Christian. He number one, is going to try to get you to backslide, right? Go back to the vices that bound you before you followed Christ. He desperately wants you to backslide. If he is unsuccessful in doing that, then he'll switch up his tactic and get you to front slide, right? Think you're further down the road than you actually are. Both of them are lethal. Both of them are destructive. And he's really, really good at manipulating either or. That's the truth. So here, 7 weeks after his cleansing, 7 weeks after establishing a new relationship, 7 weeks after humbling himself and starting to be, you know, restored, God says, now do it again. Huh? Oh, yeah, do it again. Reduce yourself to that of a child again. Let me just make one more application to that, and then we'll move on. Reading God's word, man, it's convicting to me. It's embarrassing because I know better. But I can open up the Bible, especially in certain chapters of the Bible, and I have the self-righteous, evil thought, right? I know this chapter. There's nothing I can learn in this chapter. But, you know, I just want to be a faithful Christian and get through my devotions. This is why Jesus said you have got to humble yourself like a little child. Constantly, consistently. Like I need to shave it all off all over again and reduce myself to that of a child and come to his word and say, I know nothing. I have no expectations. I'm completely dependent on you, Dad, feeding me. And that needs to be a way of life for us, church. To stay vulnerable, humble, desperate for God. Well, here this leper shaves again. Washes again, and again is pronounced clean. Look at verse 10. And on the eighth day he shall take 2 he lambs without blemish, 1 ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take 1 he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering. And the log of oil and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. Keep in mind, guys, a priest never did this because lepers don't get cleansed. Pretty detailed for something that never, ever happened in all of Israel's history until one individual shows up once again. Isn't it amazing the detail? And they never, ever did this ritual. I just want to keep that in your mind. Verse 14, the priest shall take the blood of the trespass offering. This is fascinating to me. And the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is being cleansed, that's the leper, upon the right thumb and upon the great toe of his right foot. Does that sound familiar to any of you? If you've been here during our Levitical study, that exact same ceremony was already described in the book of Leviticus. When did it happen? Only when the priest was consecrated and sworn into office. That's crazy, right? So he, as a priest, the file for the cleansing of leper. We don't do this. I know, but he's healed. And so as he starts going down through the ceremony and crossing his T's and dotting his I's, he puts blood on the right ear, the right thumb, and the great toe, the right great toe. And what should flood into that priest's mind? This is what we do for priests, to consecrate them. That's a statement from God in heaven, right? That's right, priest. Don't forget, you're no better. You're no different. And the truth is, God can use anybody, right, to serve and to lead and to love. The same ceremony for the consecration of a priest, the cleansing of a leper received. That is a statement of God that he is not a respecter of persons. It's really interesting to me. If you're a leper here, a cleansed leper here this evening, aren't you thankful that you get to represent the Lord, man, and serve him? Aren't you thankful that you've been included in God's work, as a priest, as a pastor, as a servant, as a minister? By the way, you don't need a badge for that. Just go out there and serve him. You need a boot for that sometimes, but you don't need a badge for that, okay? Get out there and serve the Lord. That's where it's at. Okay, in verse 15, and the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it on the palm of his own left hand. Notice the priest is doing all this. The leper is just standing there. All this stuff is being done to him. Sound like your salvation? Does me too, right? He pours the oil, right, into his own left hand, and the priest shall dip his right finger into the oil that is in his left hand and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. That's perfection, by the way. That's completion. 7 is the number of completion in the Bible. And the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. Yeah, I realize maybe all of our theology isn't exact. Praise God, we can have fellowship, right? As long as our gospel is the same. But there's differences. I'm sure as we look around this room, we don't believe all the same way about the rapture. In fact, I know that. Going through the book of Revelation, believe me, I hear feedback. I know we're not all on the perfectly same page as it results to the rapture and the tribulation and the millennium. I get that. But we fellowship because we believe in the blood of Christ and justification by faith. Here's another example where the church, the true biblical Christian church, is divided. And it is what we teach here, and we refer to it as the second blessing. If by the second blessing you mean, I mean, that there is something separate and distinct from salvation. There's something separate and distinct from the cleansing blood that this leper received. There was the oil that was applied after, right? After the cleansing blood. And that oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit for sure throughout the Bible, and it anoints, right? It anoints. And here you see this cleansed leper clean, forgiven, saved, okay? Justified. Consecrated, whatever word you want to use. But after that, now the oil is applied to the ear, right? As faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Oil is applied to the thumb, right? The picture, how do you serve? How do you do without your thumb? You can't serve well without a thumb. It's a picture of my ministry, what I put my hand to, right? The great toe, a picture of the direction, my following of the Lord, my witness, where I take the gospel. There is an anointing on those three things. I think for good reason, guys. I do believe that God has made his Spirit available to all of us cleansed sinners. And I don't believe it's the same thing as the Spirit of God entering and sealing and saving us. I think there's the Spirit of God being applied upon us to have power, influence, to be a witness for him. Maybe you're here this evening and you're thinking, that's it. I believe the gospel. I'm saved. But there's a dynamic that I see in people in this church, man. There's a love for God. There's a zeal. There's an endurance of trials. There's an influence when they speak that people respond. There's fruit in their life. What is it? I grew up so frustrated, So frustrated that I look around at Christians trying so hard in their own strength with flannel graphs and props and videos and sweat, trying to change a youth group. The youth group that I came from was the most immoral group of people. I mean, as soon as, I don't even want to go there, but my youth group, the one that I grew up in, was very similar to, you know, the perverted city of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? What was missing? And then I come to a church, and listen, please don't hear this as a, please hear this purely. I came to a church that taught and believed in the outpouring of God's Spirit, not shenanigans. No one's running around barking. That's different, okay? I'm just talking about an emphasis on the Spirit of God and receiving the Spirit of God and the baptism of the Spirit to be influential. And I saw a major difference. That's all I can tell you. I saw fruit. I saw, you know, a conviction, a dynamic. And I pray for it every day. I pray that God fills me with His Spirit today. Because no doubt I leaked it all out yesterday, right? For sure. And I see that here, man. Let me give you one more example, Old Testament example of, I believe, the same thing. You know, when the Jews were rescued out of Egypt, when they're taken away from bondage, definitely a picture of sin. They cross the Red Sea, right? The scriptures talk about that, the baptism of Moses. They cross the Red Sea. They couldn't have been delivered from their sin, from their bondage, without that miraculous supernatural event like our salvation is. But then they wandered and wandered and wandered and died off and wandered and doubted and was judged, right? But it is that group that went the second step across that Jordan River. Now that group enters into a life of promise and victory, overcoming giants. Are you with me? And I really see that, again, as a picture of exactly what I'm teaching. It's awesome to be saved. There's nothing that compares to being saved. But I've seen people get saved and for 30 years sit in a pew and get their butt handed to them Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And the giants maul them and spit them out. And I'm telling you, a Christian who understands that the Spirit of God is available and gets empowered by the Spirit, now everything changes. I've seen it. I've seen it up close and personal. I've seen it in my own life. And I'm just asking that you consider that this evening. All right, come on, turn with me. We got 7 more minutes. That's tons of time. And I want to take you to a New Testament passage and share some thoughts with you, and we'll get out of here. We'll visit and get out of here. Look at Matthew chapter 8, church. What was all this Leviticus chapter 14 about? What did God have in mind? Well, it had everything to do with the arrival of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The first miracle recorded in the book of Matthew, where it is given us the actual event, right? Jesus and an individual, is Matthew chapter 8. And not coincidentally, it's a leper. So Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper. We understand that picture well at this point. And worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. My old English Bible. First of all, guys, knowing now that a leper was not allowed to come into the temple, they were excommunicated. Do you understand the significance of this leper worshiping? He understands, I've found him, right? I can worship. I don't need to be in the temple because God, he is right there. Do you understand the significance of this leper worshiping? That is a dramatic statement of his faith. That's a dramatic statement of him understanding who Christ was. He worshiped. Maybe for the first time in a long time. Definitely the first time since he has been, you know, excommunicated. And don't you love his heart? He doesn't presume to know. I see such humility in that. But I also see a broken man, assuming like he's been taught in his culture, right? You're condemned because you're a sinner and God has rejected you. I see humility, but I see unsurety too. And the leper says, Lord, if you want to, that's the idea. If you would, I know you could make me clean. I just don't know if you want to. Have you ever been there? God, I don't question your ability. I know you're powerful, but I don't know if I'm worth it, truthfully. I don't know if there's anything of me that is worth healing or rescuing or redeeming. I don't know. You got to love the Lord's response to this, right? And please personally apply this, because this reflects God's heart towards you as well. Jesus says, I will, be thou clean. Powerful, man. Power in our Lord's word. I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now, listen, as a leper, by the way, first one in Jewish history who's been cleansed, what do you want to do at that point? Right? What do you honestly want to do? I know what I would want to do. Have you ever been away from your family for any length of time? Have you ever been on a missions trip? Just a missions trip. You know, and you've been away from your family? Yeah. Have you ever been away from your family, front row? I see a lot of heads going up and down. They're like, yeah, I'm familiar. What do you want? As soon as you're released, as soon as the day comes where it's not required of you, what do you want to do? You want to run to your family, don't you? I do. You know, I do whenever I'm in that situation. The ministry brings you there. You know that's exactly what this leper wanted to do, man. I just wanted to go home. I want to eat falafel. I want to, you know, spin the dreidel. I want to roll around on the floor with my kids, right? I want to go home. No doubt. But Jesus says, which is really interesting, Jesus saith unto him, see thou, tell no man. That's interesting. We don't have time for why he said that, but that's an interesting statement. But go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded, look at this, guys, for a testimony unto them. Man, that is a loaded statement. Loaded statement. Check it out. First of all, now we know what Leviticus chapter 14 was all about. It was a great big setup from God. Right? Can you imagine the first cleansed leper running in going, yo, remember Leviticus 14? Bring it, baby. Kill the bird. Right? Do your thing. I'll get the bit, get the gel, whatever the case. You know, amazing, right? And the priest is like, looks at the other, we've never done this before. What was that a statement of? Well, those priests who knew their Bible, guys, understood the Messiah was to show up. Read Isaiah chapter 29, Isaiah 35, Isaiah 61. All of those chapters say when the Messiah shows up, he will bring sight to the blind, heal the leper, heal the deaf, right? Allow the deaf to hear. Preach the gospel to the poor. And all of a sudden, you got a leper coming in saying, look at me. What a testimony, right? And they would start going through the motions. That was a powerful witness. Messiah must be here. This doesn't happen, man. These guys don't get better, right? Heroin addicts don't find freedom. Alcoholics don't get sober, right? Porn, sex addicts, they don't get help. They don't change. Nobody changes. They just die that way. Well, that's true. That's always true unless Jesus gets involved. And that's not to be offensive. That's just what we see in the scriptures and in real life, man. You can replace sin with another sin. I can get sober by pursuing the lady. I've done that in seasons of my life. I can get sober by pursuing the career, but all I did was replace one sin with another sin. But to find freedom and cleansing, it's only in Jesus Christ. That's just the bottom line. It's only in Jesus Christ. So I'd ask you to consider this, guys. That was for all that God did in that leper was for a testimony unto them. Okay, last thing I'll leave you with, what about you? What about me? What about the trials that hit my life? I don't deserve leprosy, God. I've been a good boy. I've served you. How could you let this, whatever this is, happen in my life? Well, just consider that God allowed something to hit your home, hit your life, hit you personally, right? And as God moves miraculously and cleanses you and gets you through that trial, it is for a testimony unto them. Could we be so dead to self and so humble that we understand, God, do what you need to do in my life because it's going to show them out there who you really are. Guys, we got eternity. We got eternity to eat snacks, right? Live real high on the hog. I don't know if they'll have hog in heaven. They might not. But you get the point, right? We have eternity to hoot, holler, celebrate, enjoy our salvation. I really do believe God cares more about our holiness here than our happiness. I really do. Happiness is an eternal guarantee. But let the trials hit your life and be the type of Christian that understands, God, do what you need to do in my life because I belong to you. Show them, God, through this trial, through my response to this trial, you're huge, you're powerful, and you're mighty to save. Amen? To process trials differently. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Leviticus, Lord. It is an awesome book. It's alive, Lord, with truth, with practical truth. And Lord, help us to humble ourselves like little children and go to your word. And every single time, even in Leviticus, you'll speak, Lord. You'll show us things. I'm convinced of it. Thanks for your spirit, Lord, because without your spirit, we are just a church, just an organization. But with your spirit, Lord, we're an organism. We're alive, and we're grateful for that. I pray you continue your work in this family, Lord, and in this community. And Lord, just move, please. Move in these last days. We love you. We pray now your blessing on our fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.